What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to the Week 11 preview with Nick and Todd as Q is out. What's going on, boys?
What's going on?
Nick, long time no see. For those that missed it, go check out my rant about the Razorbacks on Jeff Dawson's show, East Coast Sports Investors, this morning. Threw me off my game, but I'm trying, with a little energy drink in hand, trying to get back. We've got a pretty good slate, and this is one of those that I've gone back and forth so many times. I made the joke earlier that I feel like I'm a perfect politician. I've flip-flopped. I'm curious to hear your guys' your inputs on this as Crutch joins in. Cheers, Matt, Nick, and Smitty. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Crutch. Too.
Same to you, Crutch.
Appreciate it. I started following him on Action Network. I see all his plays, like, immediately when he bets them, so that's pretty cool. I'm going to try to start using that more. That's a pretty good app that I've paid for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and I don't really utilize it. But anyways, let's get started with one that I'm not super excited to talk about. Number 4, Miami Hurricanes take on Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Miami coming off a 53-31 win versus Duke. Georgia Tech a 6-21 loss to Virginia Tech last year. This is the classic Mario Cristobal coaching blunder where he failed to kneel the ball. If you remember, Georgia Tech went down, scored, won that game 23-20. What are y'all doing here?
I'm doing nothing. This kind of comes down to Haynes King's availability for me. If he plays and I knew he's 100%, I think Georgia Tech is the side here. I mean, Miami's kind of been playing these close games. Georgia Tech can run the ball a lot and kind of keep it out of the hands of that Miami offense. But without knowing if Haynes King is healthy or not, then this is just a stay away. Could be something waiting until Saturday morning and just get more news. But because I do really like Georgia Tech for double digits, I just don't know. I don't know if the line stays there once the news comes out. So it could be one of those you better jump on quickly. But this line kind of tells me there, even the books are kind of stuck in between whether he's playing or not.
Toddy.
Yeah, nothing on me with this game. I didn't even really dive in. This one didn't really jump off the board at me. You know, I've been on a lot of these overs with Miami, and I've said it before. I think they're going to get the, you know, they're going to score points. That's what they do, but they're going to give up points. I think if, you know, like Nick just said, if King's back, really good quarterback, they do run the ball well. Miami's defense can be leaky at times. I think Georgia Tech could hang in this game, especially again. They're going to keep going. Like, I mean, again, I say this every week. They're going to just try to keep putting stats on the board, you know, in the book for him that just look good and go to New York and maybe win the Heisman too. So I think this could be a high scoring game, but again, Georgia Tech can pound the ball a little bit, slow it down. And we'll go from there. But right now, this one just didn't really grab my attention.
Appreciate it, Ken. Debate segment from Tuesday. Loved it. All right, let's go over to the SEC. This one's getting out of hand. Texas takes on Florida, who's going to be without DJ Lagway. Texas coming off a bye. I mean, Florida coming off a 20-34 loss to Georgia, where they also lose their quarterback. I mean, I think all signs here point to Texas, but that line is getting way on up there. You laying it with the Longhorns, or you think Florida has a chance?
Yeah, I already played this. I got Texas at minus 21. I think this one ends up ugly. You mentioned DJ Lagway not playing, so now they have a freshman – or not a freshman, but a walk-on transfer from Yale coming in to face this Texas defense. More importantly, Texas is getting Isaiah Bond back. Florida starting two freshmen, like true freshmen at corners. Like, yes, they were high recruits. This is just a different ball game, though. I think Texas kind of names their score here. They're coming off a bye. Florida, you mentioned – put up a fight against Georgia last week, and that's kind of where this one lands. Like, you put up a fight, they kind of treated that as their Super Bowl. I mean, that's like just huge rivalry. Now you have to travel to Texas, who's rested and kind of ready for their stretch run. I think this one gets ugly. So I took Texas minus 21 already. Probably playable at 21.5, probably playable up to like 23.5, to be honest. I think this one could get out of hand.
Yeah, I just put a bet in Texas minus 11.5 for the first half. I think they're going to really be able to harass that quarterback. Todd, what are you doing here?
Yeah, no play yet for me, but I think you guys said it well. I think this one gets ugly. I think what Nick said, Texas, it's just how many points they would have put on them. You know, DJ's out. I read an article. There's multiple people that could be out for Florida. Mm. I think this is just a bad spot for them. Defense has played better, but this could be one that could get ugly. Yeah, you said about the quarterback, the Yale kid. I think it's Warner. What was he? 7 out of 24 last week, 66 yards a pick. So very good Texas defense. Offensive line's good. I think they'll be able to really pound the ball and make some big plays. I think you'll see both quarterbacks. I think they'll throw up a lot of points. Right now, no play for me.
All right, moving on. ACC, number 23, Clemson taking on Virginia Tech. Clemson coming off a 21-33 loss to Louisville. Virginia Tech coming off a 31-38 loss to Syracuse. Last time these two teams met was in 2020. Clemson won 45-10. Brent Pry came into the season with a lot of hope. He returned a lot of people, and they just have not caught their stride. Most notably, their big loss to Vanderbilt to start the season. But that is beginning to look not as bad as it really showed to be at the time. I'm on Virginia Tech here. As you see, Parker's projections have Virginia Tech a slight favorite. The power ratings make this Clemson -3.5. And I think the Hokies could get weird in Blacksburg and possibly even pull an upset here. Nick?
Yeah, for me, this is unless I've missed some news, their two best players are questionable for Virginia Tech, especially starting quarterback Drones is still questionable. I don't know if he plays.
Which, I feel like he's been questionable every game this season.
I do. He didn't finish the game last week. So that kind of gives me hesitation. This is one of those in Blacksburg, like this is kind of like you said, save Virginia Tech season with they were expected to come in. They were a lot of people's darlings to kind of maybe be that sneaky team to win the ACC. I think their win total was like at 9, like just something that was
8,
like very eight and a half. Yeah, just very high win total and kind of hasn't played out that way. So if this could be a, hey, it's at home, Clemson, not quite as good as we saw last week, but it's still a big name, especially within that conference. But without me knowing like the status, sort of like Haynes King with Georgia Tech, without me knowing the status of a quarterback, that changes a lot, especially when you're at a smaller place that doesn't have a great backup to begin with. So that's kind of my thing.
So Drones did practice in full pads Wednesday.
I did see that, but they also said it was like a walkthrough and like basically just throwing to open air was what he did Wednesday. So yeah, not sure about this one. I'm not touching it just because of that. I don't mind the play with Virginia Tech, especially like you said, if he plays, Virginia Tech probably is the side that 6.5, 7 range. But yeah, it's a stay away from me.
Dottie.
Yeah, I jumped on Syracuse right before kickoff. I heard he was not going to quarterback last week, so I jumped on Syracuse. And, you know, Virginia Tech was putting on a lot of points against them. And running backs also out. So, again, you know, very good running back. And they were burying Syracuse early in that game, and then Syracuse came back and I think got the win outright on that. So that was a winning play here. The big thing was Virginia Tech, I mean, their defense just couldn't stop. And I think even Syracuse went to their backup quarterback in that game last week. So it's another stay away. These first three games, just nothing really jumped off the board at me that I really want to get involved with any of these games.
Oh, we'll get you betting. Let's talk about Michigan taking on Indiana in Bloomington. Michigan coming off a 17-38 loss to Oregon last week. Indiana, a blowout win, 47-10 over Michigan State. Last year, though, Michigan won this game 52-7. Not even close, but we all know that they're two completely different teams now. And I'm on the Hoosiers here. I'm going to keep betting on Kurt Cignetti and this team until they prove me wrong. I've not been impressed with Michigan at all. I feel like Indiana is going to be able to name their score on offense. And this is a team that they probably want to beat just to kind of shut up some of the haters that have said you haven't played anybody. And I know Michigan is not what they were last year. However, there's still that name recognition of beating a big blue blood team like Michigan. So give me the Hoosiers here. Nick?
Yeah, man, I want to follow you so bad, and I still might. That 14.5, that hook is kind of scary there. because this, I mean, and this is one, this is IU, like, yes, this is kind of a name brand team facing Michigan, but does this really help your strength of schedule out a whole lot? No, but it's still, like you said, name brand. I want to see IU come out, and this could be like, this could tell you a lot, because this is, no matter Michigan's flaws that we've talked about, this is still going to be the best defensive line in front seven that IU's faced all year. So I want to see it. I probably will figure out a way to get on Indiana somehow, just because I keep making everybody money. I mean, their smallest win margin of the year is 14, so that's kind of right where this spread is at. And you're right, Michigan, once again, we say it every week, how does Michigan score? How do they keep up? And we said this Indiana defense has kind of been overshadowed by how much fun, like, the Cincinnati offense has been, and Curtis Rourke, all them in the news. But this Indiana defense has been real. So, yeah, I'll probably be on Indiana somehow. I kind of was leaning the first half number because it was somehow at 7, even the line was at 14.5, which usually isn't the case. It's usually kind of flip-flop where it should be like 8.5. So I might play it that way. But, yeah, I'll probably figure out a way to be on Indiana. I just can't see Michigan keeping up here.
Crutch says Indiana is out for everyone's head. Yep. As a team that's been a doormat for years, they have to relish smoking conference opponents. I agree. I think we'll see that tomorrow. Toddy?
Yeah, you know, Michigan hung a little bit with Oregon. They were covering the spread. Late touchdown there by the Ducks last weekend to push it over there. You know, Warren did throw 2 touchdown passes for Michigan. You know, the one thing about it, Matt, you said last year Michigan really put it on them, so this could be payback. Maybe they want to run it up. Nick said too, you know, they beat everybody by double digits this year. I mean, they have smoked people all year. I think Nick made a good point there about the defensive line for Michigan. It's still pretty good. You know, with the problem with Michigan the last couple of weeks is they just can't run the ball anymore. You know, Edwards really hasn't done much. Mullins has just completely disappeared. If you look at his stats over the last couple of weeks, Orgy's even gone into the running back kind of position at times. Can they just stop wasting time putting him at quarterback? You know, he can't throw the ball. I mean, it's not fooling anyone. Stop doing it. So I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not on this yet. The 14.5, could I do a small play? And I'm not trying to sound like a homer here. I think Michigan could slightly keep this and maybe lose by 10 to 14, and maybe that hook play is good. But right now, it's still a no play for me.
Ken said Mullings fell off the map.
Has. Look at his stats last. I don't know what happened to him. They can't run the ball.
The primetime game that's not in primetime.
Hey, can I make one more point? Rule two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two things real quick on the road too. Michigan, you know, I think they went out to Washington, really took them a long time to really get going in that game. And then they played Illinois, and they, you know, no offense. So on the road, they have not been good, not scoring a lot of points.
All right. Lane Kiffin, we heard his comments about why LSU's getting the primetime game at night. He hates it for his fans, but this Ole Miss offense exploded last week, winning 63-31 against Arkansas. Georgia coming off a big win over their rival Florida, 34-20. Georgia won this one last year, 52-17. Do you think Ole Miss, Nick, I'm going to go to you. Do you think Ole Miss has a chance here? Because this is one that I have flip-flopped on. I liked Ole Miss plus 3.5. I then bet Georgia money line. I don't know what in the hell to do here.
Yeah, they absolutely have a chance. I kind of go, like I mentioned it on our other show this afternoon with Jeff. All of the metrics, like every single number, Chuck, if you just look at the analytical side, points to Ole Miss here. Basically, Georgia's front has, like, I know we know Carson Beck has been bad, but Georgia's offensive line has not really done him any favors and helped him out. They're allowing a lot of pressure, and he's leading the country with, like, when he gets pressured, 10.8% of his throws are turnover-worthy plays, which means basically, he puts it in a range where a defender can make an interception or it can be a tip ball. It's kind of how that works. That leads the country by a lot. And you flip it, Ole Miss is leading the country in havoc rate. They are leading the country in sacks. They have 100 tackles for loss this year. The next closest team in the country has 77. So they have way more than anybody else. This defense for Ole Miss has been the real deal. And now they're facing a Georgia team who hasn't really gotten their run game going a whole lot. They've been relying on Carson Beck, which hasn't gone to plan. So all of the metrics here face Ole Miss, or say Ole Miss. And I do have to give it to Kiffin. Like, I love him kind of trolling about, like, hey, you're going to punish us for fake injuries now. I'm just going to put 29 people on the injury report, and all of them are questionable. So you have no idea who's faking it, who's real, nothing. So it's just one of those Kiffin things. I love it. But I just can't get over Georgia not losing 52 straight wins against teams not named Alabama. So I don't know what I'm doing here on a side. I still haven't chosen a side. I don't know if I will. I am probably going to be on the under. I think a first half under minus 27.5. I like full game under. I think it's 54.5. I like it there. I might end up splitting units and taking both. Just because I mentioned, like, Ole Miss defense has the advantage. Georgia defense has also – I just can't get that Texas kind of game out of my mind, how their defense stepped up in the last big game they were in. So I think under is probably the safest play, and that is most likely what I'll be on here. But I haven't taken a side.
Todd?
Yeah, I'm on the side. I took Georgia. I got them the other day, money line minus 135. You know, what I put down, Beck has to be better. Last two starts, 2 touchdowns, 6 INT. So that's something big in this game. Just can't turn the ball over. He starts throwing to the wrong team again, then it's going to be a bad bet here. But I think Nick made a good point. That's what I have in my notes, too. The Texas game. Everybody thought Texas. You know, Georgia really went down. Their defense really stepped up. I think you're going to see another good performance. I think Beck's going to make some good throws. I think Georgia wins a tight one.
All right, Colorado, Texas Tech, another one that's going to be really good, especially in the Big 12 land. But Colorado coming off a bye, Texas Tech with the big win, 23-22 over Iowa State. Nick, you backing Deion and the Buffaloes, or are you going Red Raiders guns up?
I'm backing him to an extent. This could be a trappy game. We've said Lubbock before. I don't know. Texas Tech, they played great last week. I get it. I just don't trust their pass defense. I already played Colorado, and you'll see it's one of my best bets. Colorado team total over 33.5. This is a Texas Tech team that has the second worst pass defense in the entire country. I think Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter are going to get theirs on offense. I don't see how Texas Tech slows it down. Now Texas Tech could score. I don't think it's a bad play to take the over 62.5 here and combine both. I just know Texas Tech has some injuries. Three guys out on defense. I think two of their offensive starters are out as well. Quarterback kind of banged up. So I'm going to take that kind of out of consideration and just go with this Colorado team total they should have gotten shot in the arm last week with Iowa State going down and everything. So now they kind of control their own destiny to the Big 12 championship. This is kind of what Deion's been talking about and bragging about for the last 2 years, how this is kind of where he wants his team at. Now they control their own destiny. Let's hope they don't kind of break here on the road in Lubbock, where it's probably going to be loud because people just don't like Colorado and that Deion factor. So I'm going to expect points here from Colorado, but I do think this could end up being a very close game.
Yeah, 93% of the money coming in on that over 62.5. Todd, what are you doing here?
Yeah, no play yet for me. But again, I was one that was very critical of Deion, but what a great job he's done. You know, the defense is playing a little bit better at times. They're running the ball now. Offensive lines even improved slightly. So I think it's a good coaching job by him this year. Texas Tech, Lubbock's crazy place. Crazy things can happen. Good performance last week. Quarterback got it out. A good performance. Running back, Brooks had over 122 yards. One of their wide receivers, Kelly, had a big game. Went into a very tough Iowa State stadium and won that game outright. I kind of agree with Nick. I could see this being high scoring. I think it's going to be tough to slow down Hunter here. I think he could have really some big numbers, which my fantasy teams aren't doing very good. But let's get a win this week, both teams. So Hunter, help me out here. So high scoring game, entertaining game. That's all I'll say about this.
I think Shedeur Sanders could have a field day. 114th ranked pass defense success rate for Texas Tech versus the 20th ranked pass offense success rate for Shedeur in Colorado. Moving on, South Carolina taking on Vanderbilt. This was an added card here. South Carolina coming off a big 44-20 win over Texas A&M. Vanderbilt coming off a win where they were once again a dog versus Auburn 17-7. South Carolina won this game 47-6 last year, but again, this is a totally different team. Not so much for South Carolina, and I think a lot of the money is coming in on South Carolina. That line continues to go up. I think it opened 3.5 or 4, now up to -6.5. Nick, does Vandy do it again as a dog? Or are you buying this Gamecocks team as finally getting the monkey off their back and winning a big game? Can they carry that over?
Yeah, I'm kind of staying away from this one. I mean, I hit Vandy last week with the +7.5. Also had them on the money line at, I think, +250 is where I got it at. So hit both those. I think it, I don't know. It kind of has to come to an end at some point. Like, I still keep looking at that logo and thinking, this is not Vanderbilt. Like, what is going on? It's just Diego Pavia should just have his face as the logo, and I'd probably be more likely to bet it. But South Carolina has been underrated all season. I mean, you look, like we said this last week going into A&M, their losses, lost by 3, probably should have beat LSU, lost by 3. Had a full chance to beat Alabama, lost by 2. And now you have, like, just absolutely stunned A&M. In a, I mean, yes, great spot. That place was rocking. But now they're on the road, kind of sleepy. Is it going to be sleepy Nashville, though? This might be a little bit different. They might get a full, like, 20,000 people in there or something. So we'll see. But this South Carolina defense is what scares me, and that's what keeps me away. Is Vandy's thing is let Pavia kind of make plays in the backfield. He's not great with his arm, but loves to use his legs. And you have these two defensive ends. They're, I think, by far now have proven themselves the two best defense, like the best defensive end combo in the country. You have, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name, but going to be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft, transferred from Purdue. Then you have a true freshman on the other side. I think this is where, just matchup wise, with what Vandy likes to do and kind of outside the tackle runs with Pavia, I think this is where it kind of comes in. And just matchup wise, I don't think it's a very good matchup for them, what they like to do.
Yeah, they play very much like a service academy, and yeah, playing absolutely against 108th and 106th ranked offensive success rate team in rushing and passing against South Carolina. I feel like points are going to be a premium, and if Vanderbilt can make this an ugly game like they like to do, I lean Vanderbilt here. Todd, what do you think?
Yeah, no play yet. I was on South Carolina last week, was one of my best bets. Good winner there. But in the last 9, they're 7-1-1 South Carolina in the series here, 12-5 run as an ATS favorite here. Yeah, you know, this could be a sleepy spot. It's such a great story. I mean, Vanderbilt, the quarterback, it's a great story here. You know, you could get, hopefully you get some people there. I mean, this, they should be backing this team slightly, a little bit here. I mean, they're winning some football games here. I think South Carolina fans will travel too. If I, right now, no play. I saw some sharp people that I really respect, like the under in this one. I think that's not a bad play. I think South Carolina, though, gets the win in this.
Yeah, 56% of the money coming in on that under. All right, let's get to Baton Rouge. Number 11, Alabama, taking on number 15, LSU. And this is a make-or-break game for both of these. I think the loser is eliminated from the college football playoff. The winner keeps their hopes alive, both of them coming off a bye. Again, this is one where I flip-flopped. I loved LSU. Then I saw that everybody is on LSU. Get the construction workers rowdy. Yeah, Vanderbilt's been working on that stadium for, God, 3 years now. Still haven't gotten it done. But LSU, we know that it's difficult to go into Baton Rouge and win at night. Marcel Reed kind of gave the blueprint, though, on how you can beat LSU's defense. And you can say that they were not prepared to face him. But I think Jalen Milroe, he is a huge upgrade from Marcel Reed. So if they get that read option going, I don't know that LSU can hang with Bama. And Alabama's really starving for another big win after the one against Georgia. They've really fallen off. I lean Alabama now. And again, I watched the show, Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns, two that I really respect. They're both, they took the points with LSU. But it's not going to surprise me one bit if Alabama goes in there and wins this thing by a touchdown or more.
I mean, we've mentioned all the Brian Kelly at night, at home LSU stats. And the home team here has won, I believe, like last three matchups. This one's tough. This is basically on both sides of the ball, kind of. Usually you hear like strength on strength. This is mostly like weakness on weakness. Like LSU's rush defense is their weakness. Obviously, Bama, I think you mentioned Milrow. Kalen DeBoer loves these big games where he uses his quarterback a lot. So expect Milrow to probably get his 15 to 20 carries. Coming off a bye, he should be fully healthy, legs rested. Bama, this is also their last game on their schedule pretty much. Kind of some easy ones coming up, I believe, with Mississippi State, and I know Auburn's coming in the Iron Bowl, but I think so you'll get a lot out of Milrow. And then flip-flop it, Alabama's secondary has not been good, has not really been tested. And, yeah, you have Nussmeier for LSU who's been able to throw the ball on pretty much everybody. I think he'll still continue, even in the losses, he's still throwing for 300-plus yards. So I think this is an overplay for me. I haven't played it yet, but I really do lean over here. Like I said, weakness on weakness. I think both teams offensively kind of get what they want to do, and they're both going to try to – I think they'll both play fast just because they are confident in what they need to do is going to work against the other. Haven't played a side. Like I said, I lean LSU at home plus +3. I just haven't been big on this Bama team all year, but haven't touched it yet. I believe I'm going to play the over. So that's kind of how I look at this one is just let's take the Bama rush offense versus LSU rush defense and the LSU pass offense against the Bama pass defense. And I think this will be a shootout.
83% of the money coming in on that over you speak of. Todd?
Hey, we can talk run, pass. I don't care. Home dog, night game, live Tiger back on the sidelines. Enough yes. said, yes. boys. Enough said. Hey, what was that? October, I think it was 12th with Ole Miss. I was on LSU. I love the spot here. One of my favorite plays of the weekend. LSU's going to win the game.
And that's exactly why. If it seems too easy, it's usually not.
Libby Dunn and Paul Skeens back on game day.
Oh, there's another one right there. Great job, Nick.
That'll be a must watch. All right, quick message from Home Field Apparel, and then we will get into our best bets. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Home Field has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these six games.
All right, starting with Q, who is not here. His best bet was a Cincy Pitt Moneyline parlay plus +101, followed up with Georgia Moneyline minus -135 and Arizona State minus -2.5. Nick?
Yeah, first one is tonight. So get this one in. This is Iowa. They're traveling to UCLA. I think UCLA is kind of getting a bump. Played well last week. I think Nebraska is just worse than we thought. That was a surprising one. I don't care that Iowa's on the road. Like UCLA Friday night. Like those crowds are always get trolled on Twitter and Instagram and everything. I think it's going to be another day like that. Iowa also has just every big advantage here. UCLA is dead last in the country in rushing, averaging only 78.9 yards a game. Iowa's biggest kind of fault this year has been their rush defense, surprisingly, which obviously doesn't matter because of that stat I just mentioned. Iowa leading the Big Ten in rushing. Caleb Johnson, if you haven't had a chance to see him yet, second in the nation in rushing behind only Ashton Jeanty. And I said it last week when I bet them against Wisconsin. They are so much better offensively with Brandon Sullivan at the helm. It just gives them a different dynamic. dynamic way to run the ball. They scored 40 points in both of his games. I don't think UCLA keeps up here. So, yeah, Iowa 5.5. I think a lot of places have it 6.5 now. Still playable. I'd keep it under 7, though. We mentioned Colorado team total. Talked about that one already. And then Oregon first half. This is another one just sticking with the trends, staying with the hot team here, sort of like we have with Indiana lately. Oregon's just been getting out and just, like, just ripping people from the get-go. I think they do that again. This is Maryland traveling all the way across the country after getting smoked by Minnesota last week. I think Oregon just, once again, puts their foot down, takes care of business in the first half, and just kind of cruises in the second half. So that's kind of why I'm staying away from the full game, especially since I believe it's like 25.5 or 26.5. I don't think they have any interest in beating them that bad. So give me this first half with Oregon, who already is coming. Like we mentioned, the Tez Johnson injury. So injuries are kind of creeping up on them. So this is another, just even a bigger reason for them to want to get healthy by that Big Ten championship and come playoff time. So, yeah, first half number, hammer it, and then just turn it to something else.
Yeah, I love the Iowa play. I'm also on the Hawkeyes minus 6, and I completely agree with you there with Oregon. It does worry me as far as the sustainability of this success. Do they start resting more people? I just like the first half. Smitty?
Yeah, well, I told you LSU, live Tiger. Let's go to Kansas. Kansas, 2-6. You're going to say, what in the world are we doing here? But in all six of those games, they've been leading heading to the fourth quarter. They've had so many tight losses this year, it's ridiculous. Really like the coach. I still think they're playing very hard. I know it's not on campus. I think they're playing where the Kansas City, the pro team plays. So I think, Iowa State's going to travel well. It's not like on campus kind of atmosphere there, but I think this one's tight. I think Iowa State's coming off the tough loss. I think this one could be close. I think the Hawkeyes are going to be up for it. So give me the +3. I'm going to take a chance here. Oregon State, best bet. You know, San Jose State's not a bad team. The old Navy coach is out there now, but they're 1-3 on the road. Oregon State's not only 3-2 on the at home this year, and I think they've lost 3 in a row. But over the last couple of years, this has been an ATS machine. I think it's hitting like 74% at their home field. So let's take a chance. I think they win by over 3 points. So that's my best bet. Go Beavers.
I'm muted. And for my best bet, I went with Georgia minus 135. I don't love this. Alabama minus 135. And then Indiana. Really, the only one that I feel most comfortable with, minus 13.5, got that juiced at minus 131. Like I said, until Lane Kiffin can win a big game, I've got to believe that Kirby Smart is going to outcoach him. And then Kalen DeBoer, like I said earlier, I think that Jalen Milroe is going to have a Marcel Reed type game. And I think that could expose the LSU defense. Has anyone heard about Army's quarterback if he's playing this week? Ken asks.
I would be surprised. It sounds like last I heard, it's hard to get info from them, obviously being a service academy. Like, they kind of have different rules on what they have to say. He was in a walking boot apparently last week. And the number kind of tells me a lot, how it opened up at 6.5 for North Texas, and now it's down to 3. And the totals come down probably 67 to like 62. That leads me to think he is not playing. And I wish I had hit this earlier in the week because I wanted North Texas, but now that it's kind of field goal or under, I cannot touch it. But I believe he plays.
I got on it the other day. I wish I would have got it really fast, Nick. I got it at +4 because I kind of agreed with you. Everything I was hearing, it didn't sound great. And it, you know, from 6 down to 4, I was like, wow, this might keep plummeting. So I took a chance there. You know, the team, North Texas, I mean, the team, I think they've had a 7 out of 8 games this year. They've scored 35 points. So I think they'll be able to score. And again, if you really look at Army's schedule, it has been the greatest schedule. I'm not saying North Tech, they can't really stop anybody either, but Army really struggled last week. I had Air Force plus the 22. And, you know, that was – they covered the spread too. So I think North Texas is going to hang in this game.
Yeah. Another one I wanted to mention just for fun. I got to take Boston College money line. We kind of have to – this is – I think they're the better team. This is also them coming off a bye against Syracuse team who's kind of on a downward spiral. Also, it's Tom Brenneman calling a Castellanos game. You have to kind of just because of the history of that on the CW, you have to take Tom Brenneman calling Castellanos. I hope he can joke with himself about it. I don't know if the network is going to say, please ignore this, but I mean, I'm not going to watch it, but I hopefully we get some like clips or something of him kind of mentioning that.
Couple other of my bets. I've got Iowa -6 tonight. I love that play. And then I took Missouri. I know it's going to be Pine starting in place of Brady Cook, but I think Missouri, they're still in the hunt, and I feel like they get this win. I don't trust Oklahoma. They're just absolutely terrible. And then another one I like is Iowa State. This is just a fade the trendy dog. I know a lot of people are buying into Kansas. I'm not. I think Iowa State's just the better team. They're better coached, and I feel like they respond well. They're not out of the Big 12 race. They still have work to do, so I feel like they get it done. Just another team I don't trust like Kansas. And then the last one was Vanderbilt. We did talk about that one, but I bought that up to 7.5, I think -135. So, Smitty, do you have any other plays?
No, that's it. Right now, the ones I gave out in North Texas was the one I jumped on. I think it was yesterday I jumped on that game. So now I have a couple I'm going to look at tonight, and I usually try to get the card out in the morning. So I'll push it out, and let's keep winning some bets here.
Yeah, a few others for me. I'm going to be on Washington State -20.5. They've secretly been really good this year. Running quarterback, they've been blowing teams out. I think 20.5, they're too small. I'm also on the Western Kentucky, New Mexico State over 51.5. We mentioned New Mexico State. I think we've mentioned it multiple times. Cannot stop anybody. I think they help enough to kind of get that total over. And then I'm actually on the opposite side of Maddie up there, and I'm on Oklahoma to beat Mizzou. I've seen – hey, Notre Dame fan, I've seen enough of Drew Pine. Like, I can't remember. I was listening to a podcast, and they said he looks like a Make-A-Wish kid out there trying to throw a football.
But three and interceptions last week.
I about lost that. He's just bad. And then also, and they're still not expected to have a running back back. Sounds like Theo Weiss is also going to be out for them. I mean, Oklahoma is at least fighting. Like, that's kind of what they've shown me. Like, that I was impressed with the old game against Ole Miss. So I'm not too scared here. This is going to be super low scoring, and do not watch this because it's going to be ugly football. But I think Oklahoma ends up pulling it out. And I just took them on the money line.
I do have one thing to ask. I saw Florida State's team total is 7.5.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I kind of want to bet that. But Notre Dame fan, I told you I hate touching their games. But because I don't know. I thought about it because that is crazy. But look at what Florida State's doing, right? Like, their pass offense is under – we joke about all these other, like, offenses that can't move the ball. Like, their pass offense somehow is worse than Michigan's pass offense, like, by the numbers. Like, it's just – they are just embarrassingly bad. But it would be something like in the fourth quarter, they kick a field goal to make it, like, 10 points. Or they kick, like, 3 field goals and end up with 9. The team total for 7.5 is it's one that's hard not to look at and just out of principle take.
All right. If y'all don't have anything else, that will wrap up the show for Q, Nick, Todd, and myself. We will see you next week for the recap.